Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Have you ever woken up and felt like your whole life was just a little bit off? Like the things that you remember, I
Yeah.
don't quite feel like they're yours?
You're like, something's not right.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of unsettling feeling that this book, I Leave It Up to You, explores. And it's a contemporary novel, so kind of like a family drama, but also a little bit of a psychological mystery in there.
Oh, very cool.
This one was sent in by one of you guys, so thank you for that. I have to say, it really got under my skin while I was reading it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if you're into these kinds of family dramas with a psychological twist, you're gonna love this one. And of course, don't forget to like and subscribe so you can keep up with all of our deep dives into really cool books like this one. So the book follows this guy, Jack Jr., who wakes up from a coma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in a coma for 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And he wakes up, and the world is both familiar and completely strange.
Oh,
It's
okay.
like he knows where he is, but he doesn't know how he got there. And his memories are all fragmented, his family's holding back secrets, and he doesn't know who he is
I
anymore.
can't even imagine.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a pretty wild premise.
Yeah.
So what did you think when you first started reading this? What really stood out to you about this book?
Well, I mean, obviously the coma thing is a really dramatic situation. But I think what Chung does so well is he uses that to kind of explore something that everyone experiences, which is how unreliable our memories can be.
Oh, interesting.
It's not just that there are these gaps in Jack Jr.'s past, it's that those gaps actually shape his present. You know, he has to rely on other people to fill in those blanks, and that makes him really
Oh,
vulnerable.
that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know what's real and what's not. He's
Exactly.
totally at the mercy of everyone else.
Yeah, he can be easily manipulated.
Yeah, and it makes you question everything.
Everything.
Like,
Yeah.
as a reader, you're right there with him trying to figure out what happened. But you also can't be sure if you should trust what anyone's telling him.
You're suspicious of everyone.
Right? Even the people who seem like they're trying to help him.
Get hold of
It's
them.
really suspenseful in a way, even though it's not like a thriller or anything.
It's like a psychological thriller almost.
Exactly. Yeah, there's this constant tension of not knowing what's true. And one of the things that really stuck with me was when he's trying to remember his grandfather's death, and he just can't. He has no memory of being told that his grandfather died. He doesn't remember the funeral. It's just this complete blank.
Wow.
And it makes you think, like, how much of our past is actually real? And how much of it is just stories that we've been told?
That's so deep.
Right. And it gets even more complicated when you add in the family dynamics. Because even before the accident, it's clear that there was a lot of tension between Jack Jr. and his brother, James.
Yeah, you can totally feel that.
Like, they don't get along at all.
Yeah.
And Chong kind of reveals why that is really slowly, just like Jack Jr. is piecing together his own memories.
So it's like a parallel.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so effective because you're getting these little bits of information at the same time as Jack Jr., so you're both trying to make sense of it.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Exactly. Like, bit by bit, you start to see all these resentments and secrets that have been building up for years.
Wow, and I bet those secrets have something to do with why they're not telling him the whole truth about his partner, Ren.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it because his parents, Appa and Uma, they love him so much.
Of course.
But they're so protective of him that it almost feels like they're suffocating him.
Right.
Like, they won't tell him how Ren actually died, and it's clear that they're holding back other information too.
It's like they're trying to shield him from something.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder if it's really helping him or if it's just preventing him from truly healing.
It's tough because you can understand where they're coming from, but it also feels kind of messed up.
It is. It's such a complicated situation. And Chong doesn't shy away from the ethical questions it raises.
And then you've got Jack Jr. walking around with this huge weight of guilt on his shoulders
Ugh.
because he knows that his accident has put such a strain on his family.
Oh, totally. Like, financially, emotionally, everything.
Their whole world has been turned upside down because of him.
Right. And he can't escape that feeling. Especially when he starts to realize how much his recovery has impacted their family restaurant, Joja.
Yeah, that's their livelihood.
It's everything to them. It's how they make a living. It's their connection to their Korean heritage. And it's struggling because they've had to pour all their time and energy into taking care of him.
So the restaurant is almost like a symbol of their family in a way.
Totally. It's like this microcosm of their struggles and their resilience. And Chong does such a brilliant job of connecting the craft of sushi making to Jack Jr.'s own journey of piecing together his identity.
Oh, that's interesting. How so?
Well, both of them require so much patience, precision and a deep understanding of the ingredients,
mm-hmm.
whether it's rice and fish or memories and emotions. You know, it's all about finding the right balance, making those careful cuts, and creating something beautiful and meaningful out of something raw and vulnerable.
Wow, that's such a cool parallel.
It is. And it makes you think about all the different ways that we try to create meaning and order out of chaos in our lives.
Yeah, like we're all kind of making our own sushi rolls in a way.
Right. Trying to find the right ingredients and put them together in a way that makes sense. And then you've got Emile Cuddy, Jack Jr.'s nurse.
Okay.
And their relationship starts out professionally, but things get complicated really quickly.
I bet.
Because Cuddy's this really kind and empathetic guy, but he's also carrying his own baggage. You know, he has insomnia, he's lonely, and he feels stuck in his life.
So they both have a lot going on.
Yeah, and it's almost like they see a reflection of their own struggles in each other.
They connect on a deeper level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it makes you question whether it's ethical for them to develop a romantic relationship.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because there's that power dynamic between a nurse and a patient.
Right. And it makes you wonder if it's even healthy for them to be together, given all the other stuff they're dealing with.
It's like they're both trying to save each other, but maybe they need to save themselves first.
Right. And Chong doesn't shy away from those questions at all.
So he's really exploring the complexities of human connection, especially when people are going through tough times.
Exactly. And the way that their relationship plays out with all the family drama and Jack Jr.'s memory struggles, it just makes for a really compelling story.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot going on.
And we've only scratched the surface here.
I bet there's so much more to unpack.
Yeah, there is. Okay, so we've got Jack Jr. trying to put the pieces of his life back together. But then Chong throws this other thing into the mix. Remember Jack Jr.'s nephew, Juno?
Yeah, he's a teenager, right?
Yeah, and it turns out that he's been filming Jack Jr. without him knowing and posting the videos on TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's such a crazy twist because it makes you think about, like, all the ethics of social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what's okay to share and what's not okay to share.
Especially when it comes to family.
Exactly. Like, where do you draw the line? And for Juno, he just sees it as like a harmless thing. Like he's just documenting his uncle's recovery and maybe even trying to help out the family business a little bit.
Oh, right. Because they were struggling.
Exactly. But for Jack Jr., it's this huge violation.
I can see that.
He's already so vulnerable because of the memory gaps and everything. And now he's got this added layer of like being on display without his consent.
Right. Like everyone's watching him.
Exactly. And it's not just about the videos themselves. I think it kind of brings up all these anxieties that the family's been dealing with, you know, about the restaurant, about Appa's health, about the debt from Jack Jr.'s medical bills. It's like everything's bubbling up to the surface.
It's like they're trying to hold it all together, but it's starting to crack.
Exactly. And then there's that scene where Appa finds out about the TikTok videos and he just explodes.
Oh, I bet.
He's so angry at Juno for like disrespecting their family and their privacy. And it's really intense because you can feel this clash between like the older generation's values and the way that younger people view technology.
Right. It's like they're speaking two different languages.
Totally. And it made me think about how much our relationship with technology has changed even just in the last few years and how that impacts our relationships with each other.
Yeah. It's definitely something to think about.
And then, you know, Appa reveals that he actually had COVID-19 right after Jack Jr.'s accident. And that just adds another layer of complexity to the whole situation.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It's like this hidden burden that he's been carrying. And it makes you understand why he's been so protective of Jack Jr., why he hasn't wanted to tell him everything that's going on.
Right. Because he doesn't want to burden him any further.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's like they're all holding on to these secrets and these anxieties, and it's just making everything worse.
It's like they need to find a way to communicate more openly.
Yeah, and that's what starts to happen as the story progresses.
Yeah.
Because Jack Jr. Street starts to realize that maybe he's been wrong about his brother James.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, he starts to see that maybe he's been projecting his own insecurities and resentments onto James, and that that's actually contributed to the rift between them.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's a really powerful moment of self-awareness for him. And it leads to this scene where he finally confronts James and demands to know the truth about what happened to Ren.
So he finally finds out.
He does, and it's heartbreaking.
What happened?
Well, it turns out that Ren died in a car accident. He was driving to get milk for them, and he never came back.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is. And it's this huge blow to Jack Jr. because not only has he lost Ren, but he also realizes how little he actually knew about him.
Like there's this whole part of Ren's life that he was never privy to.
Exactly. And it's just another reminder of how much he's lost.
It's like another piece of the puzzle is missing.
And in that moment of shared grief, James opens up to Jack Jr. about something else, something that's been weighing on him.
Okay.
He tells him that Appa's health has been declining since he had COVID, and that it's getting harder and harder for him to run the restaurant.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's this huge revelation for Jack Jr. because it makes him see his family in a whole new light. Like, he finally understands the burden that they've been carrying.
And the sacrifices they've made for him.
Exactly. And it changes everything for him. His anger and his resentment start to fade away, and they're replaced by this feeling of empathy and responsibility.
So it's like a turning point for him.
It is. And Appa senses that shift in Jack Jr., and he decides to give him a chance to prove himself. He asks him to handle the next fish run to the market by himself.
Wow, that's a big deal.
It is. It's like he's saying, I trust you. I believe in you. And it's also a subtle acknowledgement that it's time for Jack Jr. to start taking on a more active role in the family business.
Right, like he's passing the torch.
Exactly. And I think that's where Chong's imagery is so powerful, because he draws this parallel between the meticulousness of sushi making and the delicate balance of family relationships.
I love that.
Like, they both require so much patience, precision, and a deep understanding of the ingredients involved.
And a willingness to adapt and experiment.
Exactly. And it's within those familiar walls of the restaurant that Jack Jr. starts to find his own rhythm.
He starts to feel like he belongs.
He does. He starts experimenting with the menu, adding his own touches, while still honoring the traditions that Appa has passed down.
That's so cool.
And it's not just about the food. He starts to make a real effort to connect with Juno, to try to understand his perspective.
Oh, that's sweet.
And he even reaches out to James, offering support and a willingness to rebuild their relationship.
So he's taking responsibility for his actions.
He is. And it's a slow process, but you can see the shift happening. Like, there's this moment where James actually tells Jack Jr. that he's proud of him.
Wow.
It's a small moment, but it means so much.
Because it shows that their relationship is actually healing.
Exactly. And it's all happening while Jack Jr. is also navigating this complicated relationship with Cuddy. And after that awkward Thanksgiving dinner and the misunderstanding at the theater, things are pretty rocky between them.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. It seemed like things were going well for a while.
They were, but then it's like Jack Jr. takes a step back, almost like he regresses a little bit emotionally.
So it's like he's not ready for a serious relationship yet.
Maybe. Or maybe he's just afraid of getting hurt again.
I can see that. Yeah. It's hard to open yourself up to love when you've already lost so much.
Right. And so we're left wondering, is there any hope for them? Mm-hmm. Or is this relationship just not meant to be? It did feel like he was taking a step back, maybe even just running away from his feelings for Cuddy.
I think so. It's like that moment when he sees Cuddy at the bus stop, it kind of forces him to confront some things about himself, you know?
Yeah, like, what exactly is he running from?
I think it's less about letting Ren go and more about fear, really. Fear of getting hurt again, maybe?
Makes sense. And then he finds some unexpected comfort.
Right.
In a totally different relationship.
Yeah. Lou, his neighbor. That was such a great part of the story.
I love those conversations between them. Lou has this totally different perspective on life. You know, she's lived a long time and seen a lot of things.
There's that wisdom that you can only get from experience.
Exactly. And she reminds him that life is about give and take. It's about being present, appreciating the people you have in your life, and finding some peace in the choices you make.
And accepting that it's messy. Life's not perfect. It's not always going to make sense.
Totally. And she even admits that she's still afraid sometimes, but it's a different kind of fear.
Like, she's not afraid of dying, but she's afraid of wasting time.
Yeah. She wants to make the most of the time she has left.
And I think that really resonates with Jack Jr. Like, after talking to her, he goes home and finds Appa asleep at the kitchen table, completely exhausted.
And you can tell he's been working so hard trying to keep the restaurant going by himself.
It's like their roles have reversed. Now Jack Jr. is the one taking care of Appa.
And it's in that moment that Appa finally opens up about his health.
He admits he's been thinking about closing the restaurant.
Because his body just can't keep up anymore.
It's so sad, but it's also really beautiful how they finally have this honest conversation.
There's no judgment, just this shared understanding of each other's pain.
And it's like that honesty is what allows Jack Jr. to finally let go.
He breaks down, just completely sobs.
Letting out all those years of grief and guilt and anger.
And Appa just holds him. It's such a powerful image of unconditional love.
Yeah, the kind of love that can withstand anything.
And it's from that point on that Jack Jr. really embraces his role at the restaurant. He starts to find joy in it.
Like he's found his place.
He even starts experimenting with the menu, adding Korean dishes alongside the traditional Japanese stuff.
Blending his heritage.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And then he does something really unexpected. He encourages Cuddy to pursue his passion for theater.
Oh, wow. Even after everything that happened between them.
Yeah. He even suggests that Cuddy apply for this play reading position in the city.
It's like he wants Cuddy to be happy, even if it means they won't be together.
Which kind of makes you wonder if there's still hope for them.
Right. Like maybe he's finally ready to let go of his fears and open himself up to love again.
And the ending kind of gives you a hint that maybe that's possible.
How so?
Well, Cuddy comes back to the restaurant, not as a customer, but as someone who wants to try again.
Oh, really?
He's honest about his feelings, about his insecurities, and he tells Jack Jr. that he wants to reconnect. And Jack Jr. lets him in.
They share a meal, they talk, they laugh. It's like they're rediscovering each other.
And the final scene is so powerful. Jack Jr. is standing behind the sushi bar, totally confident, totally at peace.
It's like he's finally found himself.
Yeah. This deep dive has been a real journey, hasn't it?
It has. So many emotions.
Grief, confusion, love, hope. It's all in there.
It makes you think about the power of memory, family, and letting go.
Absolutely. So what resonated most with you? What were your favorite parts? We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below.
And if you enjoyed this deep dive, don't forget to like and subscribe and share it with other bookworms out there.
I'll catch you next time.